Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. This is a special moment, a special day, wherein we have a special rebroadcast program, a special program in relation to those in our military community. But I think you can all relate with it. Enjoy, relax, take this in with our special guest. And so this is directly connected to anybody who has ever been in war or has ever been in the military and in a time of war. But it also is for the families, for those who are close by. It also is for those who have experienced shocking tragedy. Not just on the battlefield, but in life. And maybe it's something that you've happened recently. I recently spoke to someone very close to me who expressed that he recently heard of a dear friend who had been stricken with cancer. It's a sort of shock, even for me to have heard that. But what are people to do? Our guest today is Leo Bogi. Leo is a man who knows about stress, war, tragedy. He's a man who knows about post-traumatic stress disorder, as Master Sergeant Carlos can speak of so well. But he also knows about depression and getting out of depression. And if you were to see him today sitting in the studio, wouldn't really have an idea of what he's gone through. Everything is well put together. He's wearing the latest Wren's Spooner Christmas shirt. It's nice and crisp and clean and sharp and elegant all at the same time. And he's well composed. You wouldn't know all that he's gone through. He enlisted in August 1966, was promoted to E6 by April 1972 in the U.S. Navy, and served in Vietnam with the 1st Marine Division at Camp Pendleton. He got out of the Navy in 1973. Over his military career, he was promoted to Command Master Chief. A man of high rank, a man of the people, a man who has been touched by God's love. He is a pastor, he is an evangelist, and he has a heart for people just like you. As you listen today, it's very clear that God has something for you to boost you, to lift you up wherever you are in your life at this very moment today. Leo, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it. Appreciate being here.
You know, Carlos, tell me a little bit about how you and Leo and how you guys all got to know each other.
You know, I met Leo about 5-6 years ago when I first came back to Hawaii. We attended the same congregation as when I first met him, and then we connected because we just had so many things in common, military, family, bring-ins, and just the heart to connect with folks. Throughout that time that I spent with him, there was a lot of mentorship. Mm-hmm. He spent a lot of time teaching me things and was always there. And the thing that kept me connected with him was when I felt ill and nearly lost my life. He was one of the first people there and hesitated not to lay hands and pray for me. And I'll never forget that. And that renewed a bond that was also special all the time. So he's a great man of God. He's a great friend of mine. Did a lot of time in the military and understood, some of the struggles, the headaches, the hardships, have done his fair share of trying to educate a lot of the leadership and the soldiers, sailors, and airmen and marine on how to have a better life, both in the military, in their family, as well as in the community. And I applaud him for the work that I know and have seen him done, and have had the opportunity on several occasions to serve with him and to work with him in that capacity. So I met him about, like I said, about 6 years ago. Our families grew really close, and I know that at any time I can pick up the phone and he's there.
You know, friends like that really are, well, I guess the older we get, as time goes on, you realize certain friends are few and far between.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't realize that until times of crisis. Crisis really is the defining moment of a relationship, where you see who is still around when things get tough. Sometimes when we lose it, and we are certainly far below people's expectations, maybe even below our own expectations, and we're in the proverbial doldrums of life, the friends really show up.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is there aren't many of them that show up.
Yeah.
But when they do, I'm kind of reminded of I don't know if it's a Chinese proverb, a Middle Eastern proverb, or what, but it says, hold your close friends with both hands. Hold your close friends with both hands. Well, Leo, you are a close friend of this dear friend of mine, Carlos Cambry, so you're a friend to me, too, and we welcome you to the show. But tell us, Leo, where did you grow up?
First of all, to God be the glory for me being here today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up in Gary, Indiana. And I'm sure people have heard about that city. It was probably one of the most violent cities in America for many years. It was the murder capital of America for many years until some other cities have taken over today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we'd still have that recognition if the city wasn't so deserted. But back in my day, it was pretty bad. So,
okay.
Yeah. And then we left there. That's one of the reasons I joined the Navy, to get away from all that.
That was your ticket out.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, what kind of experiences did you have early on there in Gary, Indiana, that shaped you, you know, to become the man that you were back then, before you joined the military?
The greatest experience I had in Gary, Indiana, was being raised by my father.
Mm-hmm.
My father was married to my mother for 50 years. He was there for me and my brother and our four sisters, home every night, taught my brother and I how to play sports. He was a champion, Golden Gloves champ of the city, mm-hmm. baseball, played in the old Negro leagues,
mm-hmm.
Pitched against Satchel Paige. I mean,
whoa.
Very well known. And my father was a politician. He was on the city council, but no mayor won a race in Gary unless he backed him. Well respected throughout the city. You know, I received that back in that day almost as a burden. I could not do anything to embarrass my father.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think the biggest surprise I got in my life once I left there, left that environment, was how many boys even that I met in the military who were not raised by their father. It was like second nature for me to think dad, he was there. I knew what a father was all about.
Mm.
And so to leave that city, that balance, of course, when you're living there, you don't see it that way so much. You just live every day. But the lessons of knowing where to go, what to do, what to say, when to leave places, that's probably saved me quite a bit throughout my career, especially when I was in Vietnam, just that second sense that you get.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, that when to leave places.
I'll give you a good example. We were you know, when you're in Vietnam, there's no downtime. It's 7 days a week, 24/7. So at any time, something can happen. We were on a small little base that was rocketed all the time. And we were in a building one night, and this one guy said, you know what? We all need to get out of here. And as he was saying that, something inside of me said exactly the same thing. Now, there were other guys that didn't want to get up. We got up right away and left the building. Within 2 or 3 minutes, the building was mortared. You know, going out, knowing one of my big jobs over there was helping the villages, helping the orphans, and going out to these places, you were always, at any time, I mean, they could take you out. I mean, there's nothing to stop them. And knowing when to get out of places is just something there. Even traveling to the Navy when I was on board ship and stopping into really tough places, some of those districts in Hong Kong and even in the Philippines and Japan, you know, you shouldn't be in some of those places. But I actually felt comfortable in some of the areas that you were not supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you just fit in. You kind of disappear. It's kind of hard to explain. But that's like a second sense that you have. And other people barely walk into one of those districts and somebody's either shot them or stabbed them or robbed them. But none of those things ever happened to me in my entire career in 25 years.
And you attribute some of that to growing up in Gary, Indiana.
Oh, absolutely.
Did your dad talk to you about that?
My dad had one rule for us. Don't ever start a fight and don't ever run from one. He didn't care if you won or lost, but don't start them and don't run. And based on that, people, you know, I look back at that. I didn't see myself this way, but for my brother and other people, is that I was always willing to fight. I had no rules when I fought. It was always, I was not going to lose, no matter what it took. So having that mentality definitely benefited me in the service, because fear gets a lot of people killed. And I remember, you know, first couple days in Vietnam, when you have no clue what's going on, everybody's just where they are, I remember saying, you know, I am not going to spend my time here being afraid. Now, there's times you're afraid, but I'm not going to spend my time worrying about what's going to happen. I'm just going to live. And that reap benefits, I found out later, that fear is the thing that leads you to destruction.
So you spoke to yourself.
Yes.
About that.
Yes. Yes. Actually, it was a night when, I don't know if you ever, you know, remember the B-52 bombers? You know, you can't hear them. They're so far up. But when they drop their payload, everything goes up all around you. And I was looking up that night, and the moon was out. And all of a sudden, this mountain, which wasn't, it was a pretty good distance from us, but you could see it clearly in the moonlight, was lit up. I mean, just explosions everywhere. And I was looking up there, and I was thinking, that moon above us right now is the same moon that my family will see over my home back in Gary, Indiana. And it made me realize one thing. The only reason I'm sitting here in this type of danger is by my choice. I signed the paperwork to go in the Navy. This is part of the package. And I think, as I relate this to my life today, that we make decisions in life that bring us to the things that happen in our lives.
Yeah.
We want to blame other people. We want to look at circumstances of our lives. But you know what? It's our daily decisions that we make. It's what we do in the present that creates our future.
You know what I want to do when we come back from our break? We'll spend a little more time talking about, you know, being in combat, being in danger, having to face fears, taking responsibility of our choices. I want to also talk about how you have begun to see God in the midst of the process of how he worked in your life as you were growing up and to what you are today. Because so many times we fail to realize that even in the fearful moments, in the challenging times, in the tragic times, God's hand is still at work. And we want to hear more from you about that, Leo. So stay with us. We're going to be right back with more from Leo Bogie.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with a special rebroadcast program with Leo Bogey, along with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. Enjoy this time of deep, heartfelt sharing, heart-to-heart with you. Let me just give a little word of recognition to our sponsors. Our sponsors like Dr. Kerry Ishihara out there in Wahiawa. And he's a very generous partner with us with this show, along with orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, dentist Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, and Burt's Unocal there on School Street. To hear more programs like this from other very fascinating and gripping stories, go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Thegoodlifehawaii.org.
You know, Leo, it was great to hear, especially about your beginning. You and I have had many of conversations about your story and your military past and your family life, and even we've shared a lot of things in ministry. But I want to go back to the beginning phases, especially with your life in the military and in the combat zone, because you had to overcome some fears that you were facing and you were challenged with. And at that time, your relationship was with God was nothing compared to what it is now. But yet something in you kept you going and pushed you past the fear stage. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I was raised Catholic all the way through high school. And I think the biggest thing that stuck in my heart was the Ten Commandments. And what bothered me the most about the Ten Commandments was I couldn't keep them. I mean, and you know, when you like I said, I was talking about my father. When you're raised by someone who's a man of honor, who everybody ever met honored him, you don't want to be a liar and a cheat and deceiver. You don't want to be someone people can't trust, you know, because it's going to get back to dad.
Right.
And so that laid a foundation in me that how do you do this thing? And relating to war, I wanted to know, why was it when someone with me was killed, how come it wasn't me? Mm. Because I was a professional heathen. I mean, even though I was raised Catholic, by the time I was in the military, I mean, I was into everything I shouldn't have been into, drinking too much. You know, I went through divorce. I was going through a lot of stuff in my life, and I wasn't proud of it. As a matter of fact, I tried to hide it all. Mm-hmm. All the time. Everything I did that was wrong, I always tried to hide from my family. Mm-hmm. Didn't want my father to know about it. And I look back at that, now, why is this? How come, you know, someone as close as we're sitting right now gets blown away and you're still standing there? That made no sense to me. So, and I knew about sin, you know, and today, as a minister, I understand something. When God has a call on your life, that call doesn't start the day he sends for you. It starts when you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. You know, we know that. Jeremiah 1:5. He's always had that call. Now my life began to make sense. Now it made sense that I had to be equipped from the Holy Spirit with things like don't fear. I mean, you're going to, in a natural, feel fear, but walk through it. Be afraid, but don't let it stop you. That's the best thing I can tell you. And one thing you'd mentioned before, fear is always based in something you've already done. This comes from the past that tries to show up in your present. But the fear, the thing you fear, isn't happening at that time. It's something that you're afraid may happen in the future. So as I put those things in perspective, it began to pull my life together. But I think one of the biggest shocking things when I came out of the service right before I made Master Chief was I started seeing these different things show up in my life. Like I was concerned about my kids. I was concerned about my marriage. I was never concerned about those things. So God was beginning to move towards mm-hmm. me and saying, okay, now it's time to clean up your life. I didn't want to go out drinking anymore. I wanted to get away from alcohol. I quit smoking already. And I'm like, what? I was conscious of things happening to me. And as I began to make this final move towards the Lord, and I got saved, it's interesting, not long after that, I'm in depression. I mean, I'm looking at taking my own life. Suicide, the spirit of suicide was so powerful on me. My first month after I retired, it was amazing I made it through it.
You know, we got to take a step into this one because it's, you know, you're talking, it is part of a transition that's happening in your life. Yeah. I would be interested to know if there was a connection with things that you had experienced in the past that all of a sudden cropped up again, maybe feelings, thoughts that you hadn't really worked on or processed, but all of a sudden now you're at that particular time. And in light of that too, God was working. He was moving in your life all through this process. You know what? One of the interesting things that it happens, but we don't acknowledge it, is that God is at work in our lives when we are in the heathen lifestyle.
Absolutely.
You know, when we are at our worst, God is moving.
Absolutely.
God is there. God is moving. And one of the great things I think we should often reflect on with the Lord is that it's in our worst moments, in our most dire situations, that he's there. He's the one when everyone else is gone, he's still around.
That's
he's still there. But yeah. Go ahead and tell us a little about this depression. I mean, you know, I casted it. It seems far away in Haiti. I personally wasn't very far. Just a few months ago, I was in the Dominican Republic.
Mm.
But, you know, right now, lives are literally being destroyed. Their lives are crashing, as it were. But now, you experienced some depression at about the same time you were being renewed in your faith.
Yes.
Explain that to us.
You know, as I look back, I can see it. I can put it in perspective because the call that God has used me for over the last going on 10 years, the devil knows about that. And so when I look back, when I got saved, as a matter of fact, I got saved because this Navy lieutenant for 2 years would invite me to church every Sunday. So every Friday evening, he'd stop by my office and say, Master Chief, you're going to go to church with me and my family this Sunday. And I'd make fun of him and kid around with him. And then finally one Sunday, he stopped by and, like I said, I was going through a divorce. Matter of fact, I was on my second marriage, wasn't saved, going through a divorce, split up with my wife. My life was going down the tubes. But if you saw me in my uniform, you know, I look sharp every day. Mm-hmm. I got all these problems internally. I'm drinking every day, every night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 2-3 hours sleep a night. But you couldn't tell. I could drink a fifth of booze. You wouldn't know how to drink. That's how far along I had gone. And when he said that, I said, okay, I'll go with you. And he almost passed out in my doorway. I mean, after 2 years, go to the church, meet his pastor, heard a message, wasn't impressed with the message. Matter of fact, couldn't even tell you what they said. But the pastor said something. He said, if anybody in this church needs me, I'm here for you 24/7. And I looked at him and I'm like, yeah, right. That night I went home. This is my normal Sunday routine. Go to bed about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, rest till about 7 or 8, get up, shower, get cleaned up, and then go out. So I'm all rested up. When everybody else is falling down and tired in the clubs, I'm refreshed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm ready to start drinking and hanging out. Uh-huh. On the way to the club, it was about 10 o'clock when I was on my way out. Something said, go by the pastor's house and knock on his door and see if he's going to keep his word. And that's what I did. I went by and knocked on the door. His wife opened the door. She said, can I help you? I said, yeah, I was at church this morning. The pastor said, if you have any issues or problems, come by anytime. She said, just a minute. And so she closed the door, and I was thinking, she's going to come back and say he's gone to bed. Can you come back tomorrow? He opens the door and says, come in.
This is 10 o'clock at night.
10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
He opens, sits down, starts talking to me and asks me about salvation and have no idea what salvation was. So he opens this Bible and he starts telling me things in this Bible I had never heard of before. Salvation. What is that? He said, have you been baptized? Oh, yeah, I got baptized when I was a baby. He says, no, this is what baptism is. And as he told me these things, I'm like, how come I don't know this? How come no one's ever told me this? And I knew right then, the crowd you hang in, you're not going to ever hear this. And so he led me to the Lord that night. I tell you, I went home, went straight home, couldn't sleep. That was a Sunday, November 20th, 1988.
Whoa.
And on Tuesday morning, he said, I got a call from the lieutenant. As a matter of fact, he said, you need to be baptized. What do you want to be baptized? I got a pool in my house. Come by at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we went to his house. I was standing by the pool. I said, I don't want to be baptized in a swimming pool. He said, what do you mean? I said, I want to get baptized the way you said. I want to do it right. We went to Kailua Beach, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was baptized that morning. And as God began to work on my life, the issues came up. Things got worse and worse and worse because I was, you know, going towards the Lord.
He says it got worse and worse and worse as he was going to the Lord. And it may sound like he misspoke. Because in normal thinking, someone might say, oh, it's not supposed to be that way. But this is his story. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Leo Bogey and how the unfolding, not the unraveling of his life, the unfolding of the masterpiece of God's plan has been unfolding and continues to unfold. You want to hear what he says, because maybe today you're facing some challenging times and in your heart you want to get close to the Lord, but your situation is such that you feel like things are falling apart. How can it be? Stay with us. You're going to hear from Leo and his testimony of God's power in and through his life. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Leo Bogey.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arinaga Financial Group, Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here. This is a special rebroadcast program with my special guest, Leo Bogie, and my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. As you listen, if you feel you want to find out more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, here's more with Leo Bogie.
You know, Leo, in our last segment, you actually mentioned that you decided to... from a voice in your ear, take the pastor up on his offer to come and talk to him when need to be. Many of folks hear something of similarity, and actually from that point on, that voice, which you come to realize now, was the Spirit of God actually turning your life in the direction in which he wanted your life to be all alone. And he sit and he waited for years for you to get on that road and on that path. But what you came to realize was during that path, trials and tribulations began to happen, probably more frequent, more rapid than it was when you was just walking alone in the secular community. But the Bible says, Jesus said that in this world there will be trials and tribulations, but in me you will find perfect peace. You went through those trials and tribulations. And look at you today. Tell us about how those trials and tribulations brought you closer to the Lord.
Yeah, what you said about that voice. You know, that night when I was driving, I was separated from my wife and we were going to divorce. But the thing in my heart, I knew I was married to one of the nicest women you could meet. I mean, she would go out of her way to make my life perfect. And the harder she tried to make our marriage work, the more I resented myself. I would tell her, you deserve to be married to somebody that will love you unconditionally. And I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. I was trying to get out of this marriage because I knew I was not good enough for her. And she would reject it all the time, but I was guilty of it all the time. And so when I'm in the bars drinking, I want to get up and go home. You know, I'm just in the, you know, you need to get out of here. but I never had the strength to do it. And so that night, when I heard that voice, it was coming to me, and as I saw later, it's time to stop the games. It's time to stop the facade. Mm. And when I got saved, which I understand today, the salvation has to be in your heart. You confess it, but it's got to be in your heart. Because it was in my heart, this next 4 years of trials and tests and tribulation, it couldn't break me down. I mean, it was rough. You know, I was depression. I didn't do depression. I was command master chief, you know, and everybody thought, this guy's tough. He's strong, you know, and knows what he's going to do. I was so lost. It was unbelievable, you know.
Tell us, you mentioned with this depression, how did it come about? How did you, it went to such extremes. So how did it start? Describe it for us.
I was in Navy medicine 25 years, so, and I was also a counselor since 79. So this, we're talking about 1988, 89 now. So I knew what the psychology book said about depression and all these. And all these, if you have these many events in your life, I already went through a divorce, getting ready to go through another one. My mom passed away at 91. That's when the depression was at its full-blown strength. Hadn't seen my kids. I had a daughter I hadn't seen at that time, 11 years old, never saw her. I had a son who was 18 that year, turning 18 the following year, who I spent almost no time with since he was 4 years old. So the real things in my life were things that bothered me all the time, but I had been strong enough to ignore them. Mm-hmm. But when I got saved, the first thing flashed in my mind was, you don't have a relationship with your son. Mm-hmm. You've never seen your daughter. I mean, these things hit me right away. I'm like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. You know? And one of the first things I did the following year was I found out where my daughter and her mom were and talked to her mom. Said, I need to see my daughter. And so I got to see her that following year, called my son up, flew him over to Hawaii, spent a month with me that summer. Just putting things together that I never even thought about or dodged. Mm-hmm. And then in 91, 92, I retired October 92. But that last year, fighting off everything, not going to church, moving, trying to move back into my old ways. But listen, every time I sinned, it was a huge issue for me. I felt the guilt. I felt bad. I offended you, God. I'm sorry. How do I stop it? But I had no control over it. I didn't know I had a lot of control over it. I was moving that way. But in the fall of 92, when I finally retired, I thank God for Christine, who I'm married to now. Her name was Christine Claycom at the time, because she kept girding me up. The more depressed I got, she didn't know I was suicidal. She might have, but she never told me that. But the more she would just gird me up and say, you know, you're doing well. You'll be fine. I mean, over and over again. But I was looking at this. Here I am retiring. I have nothing laid out for the future. I'm not going to have enough money to make it. I'm a embarrassment to my family, to my father. My mom's dead now. And all these things were just weighing on me. And so I knew that little checkoff list for psychology said, you know, when all these things happen, people are, you know, they don't always make it. And so I was looking at this. And one Saturday night in October, I was home by myself. And all I could think about was, this is it. This is the final night. I'm out of here. I'm going to kill myself. This is unreal. I kept thinking, how can I do this and not hurt my father? How can I kill myself and not harm or make my father feel bad about it? And that, I stayed up all night trying to figure that out. I was ready to go, right? I mean, I was ready. And next thing you know, it was 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking at the room get lighter. I got up out of the bed. I walked into my living room, sat down right in front of my television, turn it on. And of all channels, which I don't ever turn to Christian stations, Frederick K.C. Price was on TV preaching. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw him, I said, here's another one of these preachers. Mm-hmm. All he wants is your money. Mm-hmm. And so I sat there for a minute and I was getting angry and I was listening to him. And Dr. Price starts saying things about what's in the Bible that I said, just like that pastor had said just 4 years before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not in the Bible. And I'm listening to him say other things. That's not in the Bible. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, how do you know what's in the Bible? You never read it. So I knew when I got saved that this pastor gave me an NIV Bible. Mm-hmm. Still got it to this day. Pastor Wayne Spears, he gave me this Bible. I started looking around. I had put this up with my books on a shelf. I searched around my house. I saw it. I grabbed it. So as Dr. Price would say something, Ephesians this or Colossians this, of course, I didn't know what those things were. By the time I found it, he's on to something else. Right. And so I said, next thing you know, his show was about to end. As he's closing his show, I'm like, no, don't go, don't, no. And he went, I said, you know what, I'm going to be ready for you next week. I started reading the New Testament that night. Mm. I read the New Testament in 1 week. Mm-hmm. I was reading this. I read the New Testament every week for about 6 months. I could not put it down. I was so angry. How come nobody told me this stuff was in the Bible? All these promises of God. And listen, from suicidal that night, it was over 3 years later when I even remembered that I was thinking about suicide the night before I picked that Bible up.
And all because you focus on the Word of God.
On the Word of God. It will purge stuff out of you because it has that power.
Wow. You know, something stood out to me, though. From the first turn toward God, it was 4 years later before you really opened yourself up to press into God. And many of times, many of us have that tingle in our spirit to where we open up for that moment to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But then we go back into the world because we have this happy feeling. So we think that because we have received the Lord as our Savior, then everything else is going to be fine, not knowing that we are now walking in the presence of God and subject even more so to the attacks from the enemy. And we wonder why that shortly after that time, we're doing some of the things we were once doing, and sometimes even worse, before we finally cross that line and totally surrender our life to God.
That's true.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was conscious of that too, that it was going, I was going further away. But the thing that I noticed with the Word was when that depression was gone and I began to do things I didn't do before, you know, I'm looking forward now. I told Christine I want to marry her. I want to have this other life, move away from where I was before. That with the Word comes the power and authority within us to do it. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not conscious of it, it's coming in there. It purges out unrighteousness on its own.
You know, we're going to take our break now, but I want to just remind our listeners. There may be somebody today who is feeling that crunch. You know, they want to draw close to God, but their situation in life seems like, you know, things aren't coming together, and they're a little discouraged right now. Maybe someone is in the thick of depression. Maybe somebody is thinking about, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not all cracked up what it's supposed to be. Maybe I'm not all cracked up what I'm supposed to be. And you're in the depths of despair. Well, if that's you, God has had you listen to this program for a purpose. Maybe someone else just needs a word of encouragement. Maybe it'll help you to just share a little bit on the air. Call us at 296-5467. We'll be here to listen to you, to pray for you. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Leo Bogey.
Namelessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of The Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, and our featured guest, Leo Bogie. And this is a previously recorded show, but one so special we wanted you to hear it, make it available to you. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org to find out more information about our show and find out how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, really telling us about some real gripping stories from the depths of his heart. You know, and sometimes we need to go there to talk about authentic faith, authentic Christianity. We got a caller. Max, welcome to our show.
Hello.
Hello, Max. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going? I just happened to stumble across your conversation. I listen to talk radio all the time, but I just jumped in my truck and heard the gentleman speak about the fact that he was in a deep depression and that by reading the Bible, it had allowed him to purify those evil things within him, the evil thoughts, and he didn't even realize that thought of killing himself was there till a few weeks later. And I'm in a pretty bad state myself. I've got good support around me, but me and my wife just recently lost our 3-year-old son 6 months ago, and it was instant. He was as healthy a boy as could possibly be. My wife was in the kitchen with him, and he had pushed away from the kitchen table, indicating that he just wanted to rest. And he went down to rest in the living room. My wife put her hand on his head, and she went into the bedroom to change my daughter's diaper and came back a minute later, and my son was gone. Turns out they thought he had passed away from something called myocarditis. You may have read it in the news that his name was Joshua, and he was the only child in the state of Hawaii to pass away from swine flu. And let me tell you, man, I've been a Christian for a really long time, over 15 years easily. I've been a dedicated Christian. I've gone to New Hope. All 15 years of that time, started at Grace Bible, but my faith has been just completely rocked. I love the Lord. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I still do. I'm in just disbelief that my son is gone. I've reached out to every possible means I can, and you know, it's to the point where even close friends of mine, you know, they don't even know what to say. They just feel that they don't even want to say anything, risking the chance of saying the wrong thing. And more than ever, I feel like I'm on an island within an island. Add insult to injury, I was just telling a friend this the other day that the day my son passed away, I felt on my heart very, very heavy. God asked me to ask my wife to see if we would have, she'd be willing to have another child. And I thought, that's just crazy. But it lasted for about a week, and it kept pressing and pressing, so I asked my wife if she would. Of course, she said no. A couple months later, she's praying about it. She said, you know, let's try. Mm-hmm. And God has my wife get pregnant 2 months later, in October. The end of October, she got pregnant, and I'm thinking, my God, I mean, God knows what he's doing. God has a plan. You know, it's just unbelievable.
Mm.
And then on Christmas morning at 7:30 in the morning, my wife has a miscarriage.
Wow.
Mm.
This is all within 6 months, guys.
Amen.
Oh, Max.
And let me tell you, I am just shambles. And I love the Lord. I mean, he knows that. I'm still my son's father, even though he's not with me. He's in heaven, but
mm-hmm.
it's just it is annihilating my soul.
Oh boy!
Max, can I speak to you on that for just a second?
Please,
Max. My oldest son, the one I talked about earlier, when his wife was pregnant with their first child, just when she was full term, they lost their baby.
Wow!
Now, I've been a minister now for about 15 years and an evangelist for 7 years. I spent a lot of time with them. I never thought twice that was a possibility in my family. But what I discovered after that, and of course, she was terrified to get pregnant again. I sat them down and I sent them different scriptures. But this is the bottom line. When there are generational things, up to three or four generations before any of us were ever here, there are things that happen in families that get passed down. I should have remembered that from my son and his wife, and I didn't. So when I began to pray for them, I started asking, I have four sisters. His wife has four sisters. My mom miscarried her first son. I didn't know that. I started researching all this. I was not my mom's first son, which I thought my whole life. Her first son, she miscarried. My sisters all had miscarriages. One sister had miscarriage with her twins. On my son's wife's side, they're all over the place. What I want you to hear and for your wife to hear, be encouraged that you will have children and they will live. You need to pray over your wife as head of your household and take authority over your family and stop the generational curses spoken against your family. Now, I know many churches teach against, there's no such thing. I'm telling you straight up. I prayed over my family the next year. My son's wife got pregnant. I have a 4-year-old grandson right now, and they just had another one. Perfectly healthy boys. Listen, we don't know all the things that go on, and God knows. The amount of time that God gave you, Joshua, for you and your wife to enjoy, think on those times when you had him. Because we don't know what the devil had planned for Joshua, you know, in the future. We don't know all these things. But recognize something. God does not kill. God is a good God. He blesses. So if the devil has a way in, and we don't always know what it is, we always don't know why, we just know we take authority. And I will keep you in prayer, and you're more than welcome to contact me later, and I do a lot of counseling with different things, suicide and family. So just be encouraged with that.
Hey, Max.
I appreciate that.
Max?
Yes.
Okay, Max, you know, this is not, you know, you coming in, when you came in, turn on the radio, listen. You know, this is by divine appointment, okay? Mm. And this is how God works. He knows where you are in your shattered soul right now. And he loves you so much that he allowed you and he allowed us to connect at this moment. And if you have a little bit of time, Max, what I'd like for you to do is just stay on the line just for a couple of minutes. And I'd like for you to just, you could talk a little bit more with Leo off the air. We're going to wrap up the show soon, but would you be willing to stay on just for a little while?
Yeah, I'd like to stay on, but if I could just get his contact info, I'd love to talk to him at another time. I'm also at a job myself, but I really wanted to just share my thoughts.
Okay.
Out there, and if there's anybody out there listening, if there's anything that they need to hear, this. That in spite of my pain, in spite of my loss, I love the Lord, I trust the Lord, and Jesus is my King.
Mm.
And that if there's anybody else out there, if I can get through this day by day, with a broken heart and a broken soul, then you can turn away from what's harming you right now. Mm. You can turn away from the pain that you're going through right now. And God allows U-turns, and he's just one step away from you, and that step is your step. To step towards God, to put your nose in the Bible, to get good, positive people around you, which I have, and to just let him love you. Just let him love you the way you need to be loved.
Hey, Max, that is deep and powerful. Leo's going to give you his contact information so you can exchange info after that. Just stay on the line. He's right there going to pick up the phone. Max, thanks for calling, and God really use you today. This has been a special rebroadcast. Leo Bogey, I hope you've been touched and moved. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to our guest, Leo Bogey, and my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. To find out more about the Good Life Hawaii radio show, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.